Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening to each and every one. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller, and I am glad you tune in today. Do we have a treat for you? We thank and praise the Lord for the sponsor of this broadcast. We thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong. We trust that he is walking in the victory that Jesus won. And I thank and praise the Lord for you that have tuned in. We've been in a series of talking about the power of our will, the power of your will. That's something that we really been sharing a lot and talking about, how God gave us the power of a free will, you know, and how our will have everything to do with the blessings of God. Now, it's been some years, maybe over 10 years, maybe 20 years, when God first revealed to me about the already, maybe been 15 years, yeah, unless, when God revealed to me about the already, especially he revealed to me, I was sitting up in healing school one day, and I was having these thoughts about, you know, Isaiah 53:4-5, and you know, in 1 Peter 2:24, but you know, scripture pertaining to healing, and in Isaiah it was saying about, for Jesus himself took our infirmity. It was past tense. Then it brought us up into 2 Peter 1, and I began to sit there, and I was saying, now, if Jesus took our sickness, and Father, if you saying you done given us everything pertaining to life and godliness, why do we still experience pain? Why we experience lack, you know, and poverty? Why we experience and be struggling with all of this stuff? And right there in the middle, sitting up in healing school, God began to reveal to me, and he began to tell me, he said, John 10:10 said, a thief come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I came that you have life and have it more abundantly. And he said, now in the natural, he said, most of the time, a thief done already spied out your house, your property. They kind of know, what time you leave home or what time somebody, when someone is not there. And he said, he's just like with Satan. He said, a thief already about sometime know about what you have in your care, what you have in your home. Well, Satan already know about the finishing work of Christ. He already know what belonged to us, you know. And so as the Lord compare the enemy, who is Satan, our adversary, when God compared him to a thief in the natural, it helped me to understand better, because I was saying, now, how can he put poverty if you're already in lack? How can he steal your health when you're already having problems with your health? But I didn't have a knowledge in the revelation about it. It wasn't really a reality. And the Lord said, he always going to try to get you all to speak and ask God for what you already, or what God done already paid for. And the Lord began to remind me, that's why he tells us in Matthew 6:33, that we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Whether all the things was above, if you go in that 24th verse, it talk about not taking thought on what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear, because God already know that we have need of these things. And just like a good earthly father, an earthly father going to make sure that child is taken care of. And we said it on the last broadcast, or maybe last week, we were sharing with you, some people didn't have a good earthly father, a good earthly parent. So you know, you can, when you talk about God being your Heavenly Father, it's hard for some people to comprehend that, because they looking at, well, if he was like anything like my daddy, anything like my father, he wasn't worth nothing. He did this and he did that. So we ain't had a lot of good example of what a good earthly father is. And so it's kind of hard for some people to comprehend what our Heavenly Father is like. Because even when Jesus talked to them about the Lord's Prayer, he told them, first start off, our Father who are in heaven. And see, there too, again, that's why one of the things, the number one thing that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, he lost relationship. He lost relationship with the Creator. That's what they lost in the Garden. It was relationship. And, you know, from what I have studied, Christianity is all about a relationship. It's more than just not want to go. I got saved, and y'all done hear my testimony. You, maybe some of you been continuing to tune in. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell, and I had got hooked, and people say you can't get hooked on marijuana. At that time, I did, on the alcohol, you know, and trying to do pill, and I was on my way trying to find something that would get me higher, because it, like the marijuana had lost what it three or whatever it three had lost, it had lost it through me. So I was looking for something higher, and so I didn't want to go to hell, and then I wanted to get off of it. And so when God saved me, I was glad, because I was living a life, you know, in, if I die, I know I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But I found out after I got born again, after I received Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I found this strong desire to read the Word. Now, the desire left for the marijuana and all that stuff, all of that left me. But I found a stronger desire to read the Word. And this time, when I started reading the Bible at 8, but this time as I read the Bible began to make sense. And it seemed like every time I read some in the Bible, it was talking directly to me. God was talking to me. And I begin to notice certain things begin to transform in my life. My desires begin to change. And it was just like every time I started reading, it was just like a light, a shadow was up over me. And it was just amazing, the peace and the joy that I had. And so what you talking about? Well, in the time we live in, Apostle Paul told Timothy, in the last days, and he said, and he was talking to the believer, he said, in the last days, men are going to depart from the faith. And my thing, I know a lot of things is happening on the earth. There's a lot going on in the earth, believe it or not. You know, and some people is being tormented, harassed about what's happening. Some people is operating in fear. We're seeing a lot of murder happening. We see a lot of the laws, the government laws is being changed. It's just so many things happening. And it's so many people is worried about what must I may do. Better get like I used to. Before I got saved, I asked the question based upon some of the things that I was experiencing at that time. Where is the Lord? I did. I asked that question many times when I was experiencing a lot of things. Where is the Lord? And I did not, I didn't know anything about free will. I want you to hear me. I didn't have anything. I didn't have my idea that God graced me, with a free will. I didn't know that. That mindset I had about God was, God can do anything, and God will fix it, you know. But I didn't know how that came about. But as I begin to study in this word, as the scripture said, as I begin to seek out the will of God, I found out that God had given me a free will, freedom of choice. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. With Adam and Eve, God gave them the power of free will and the ability to control their own destiny. And when you tell some people today, the Bible said we have a better covenant with better promise. I know I don't just got went in because whether people know or not, I be not prayed for you, and I be not prayed for this broadcast before I come on the air, because my will and it's God's will for us to come into the knowledge of who he is and what God planned for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And like I said, when you go and read, when you start reading the epistle, when they talk about the things about Christ, he's always in the past tense. And that's why if you listen at me, minister, I'm always telling you what God done already did. Now, when I was going to my home church as a little child, I used to always hear them talk about that God gonna do this, and God was gonna do something. But when I came into the kingdom of God, I found, and I told the Lord, I said, we don't have what the first church had. Why you don't do this, and why you didn't do this here? You know, my marriage, had a bad marriage and all of that. My husband walked away from me and the two children at the age of 6 and 8. And I was saying, God, where you was? Why you let this happen? And I'm just like maybe somebody doing now. Some of the things that happened on the earth, you blaming God. The things happening in your marriage, your relationship, even with your church, you blaming God. Because you just like me, you don't know and you don't realize you have something to do with God working in your life, in your family. You have something to do. Prayer ain't all just telling action, a petition God about something, but you need to know what's your part to play after you done prayed or even before. The responsibility of us when we pray, first we got to find out what God said in his word about our situation. It's not one problem on this earth that God ain't already spoke on it, and Jesus done already fixed it. Better yet, you have access to the manifestation of your situation, believe it or not. And I'm telling you, this is so real. But like I said, God gave Adam and Eve, when God placed the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden, he told them not to eat of it. He told them when they do, if they ate of it, they would die. And see, then they had to choose to obey God and live or disobey God and die. And see, this is what we're dealing with a lot now. You have everything to do with whether your prayers be answered or not. You got everything to do with whether your circumstances is going to change. I want you to hear me. And a lot of people don't believe that, and some people are stuck. I'm waiting on God to do this. And I found out even with that, it's more or less God waiting on us more than we waiting on him. But you don't know, I've been waiting on the Lord. Y'all, I learned it do not take God a long time to do anything. Now, some things, now when you go in the Old Testament, yeah, we see some things. Based upon the fullness of God, based upon the time of God that God want to manifest that. But y'all, it don't take God forever to do nothing. Please hear me, it don't. I found that the most thing we need to find out, okay, God, and you done hear me say this so many times, God is not going to override our will. And like I said, God told Adam and Eve what not to do. And Adam and Eve, they choose as an act of their will to rebel against what God say. And when they did that, they suffered the consequences. I want you to hear me. They suffer the consequence. They have a choice. Freedom of choice. They could choose to obey and he gave them. And y'all, it's the same way. When you read in your Bible, when God tells us to forgive, and a lot of times you're going to hear me talk about unforgiveness because, believe it or not, we're living in the hour of a lot of offenses. People is offended. We're living in a time when people walking in a lot of bitterness and resentment. And I think it's from the White House to some people's house, a lot of bitterness, a lot of strife, a lot of division. And people don't want to forgive. You know what I'm saying? You see, I find out the commandments of God is a command. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a command. It tells us to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. All of these are commands. And there too, again, we have to choose as an act of our will. If I'm going to obey him, I'm going to disobey him. Well, let me get on, but I wanted you to see that, because in Genesis, the third chapter, fourth and the fifth verse, God told him, he said, the devil told her, you shall surely not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And there too again, even when Paul said, but in Matthew 24, Jesus told us in the last days there will be great deception. And he kept saying, let no man deceive you. Well, Paul said it in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. I believe it's 2 Corinthians. Let me make sure I'm saying the right. But Paul was telling it, he was telling it, the Corinthians, that he might afraid that some of them in 2 Corinthians. Oh, man, I'm in Galatians and Corinthians. But he was telling them that he was afraid some of them were going to be like Eve. They were going to be like Eve, how they were going to be deceived and how the devil was going to deceive them. And that's what the enemy is trying to do in the hour, in the time we're living in. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and the... In the third verse, it said, but I fear lest by enemy, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtle, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, this is what Paul was telling Corinthians, because this is what the enemy did. The enemy deceived Eve. He had Eve believing that what God said wasn't true. Better yet, he had Eve believing that they could disobey God and she wouldn't suffer the consequences. Where we in that hour, in that time, the enemy is trying to deceive we as believers. Now, when it comes down to the sin, the enemy don't worry about them because he already got them. We that are alive to the things of God, we that done got came to Christ, we the one that he's concerned about, and he trying to deceive us and try to get us to believe that God didn't mean what it said. And there too, even when it comes down to deception, deception is simple stated, involves the pretense of making something to appear to be something it is not. Satan deceived Eve by making the pledge and the consequences of eating the forbidden fruit to appear to be something that it was not. Satan enticed Eve. He lured her by arousing a desire within her to be wise like God. And y'all, he don't have anything new. As the book Ecclesiastes says, nothing new under the sun. And the enemy's still trying to get us. And I'm telling you, and we was on it for about 3 days. Remember, we took you in Romans the 6th chapter, Romans the 7th chapter, and it was telling us that sin nature, we don't have a sin nature anymore. It's been broken. Our nature is to please God. I want you to hear me good. And that's why it's so important. You got to keep your mind renewed. You just can't just read your Bible one day and say, I don't need to read it the next day. There's so many things is trying to detract us from spending time with God and spending time in his word. Because the enemy know he is no competition for the word of God. He can't do it. He know the enemy already know that we have authority over him. But he want you and I to believe based upon how we feel, what we see, that is contrary to what God say. He want us to doubt that we have the authority when we really do. And that's why I want you to see that, because it's so important. Remember, we told you when it come down to the enemy, none of us is no match for him by ourselves. But what make us, we're going to go to Acts, because this is what I want to talk about. I want to go to Acts, the 4th chapter, like I said, we told you about the act of our will, that the way that God planned and established things for us, as Isaiah, the 1st chapter, verses 18 and 19, if I'm not making a mistake, it was telling about, this was the foundation scripture for this teaching, if you willing and obedient, you can eat the good of the land. And y'all, it still stands today. if we willing and obedient and submit to what God's word say, do what the word say, and yield to the Holy Spirit, we can experience that abundant life. Come on now, we can experience the abundant life. And see, when you go back to Acts, and Acts the second chapter in the verse 1 through 12, he told them, and I'm gonna read some of my notes. It said, we experienced a spirit breakthrough. When we go back 2,000 years ago to the birth of the church. When I go in Acts and I see after they came out the upper room and they were filled with the power. Remember Jesus told them that they needed to go to the upper room so they can be endued with power. Now first, when I first heard about power, I looked at it from this perspective. It's going to be something tangible that I can feel. I'm going to be able to cast that devil. But the first thing that the Holy Spirit do for all of us, the first thing he do for us, he empower us or enable us to overcome our fleshly desire. Now, if you done destroy the power of sin in me, why do I still have these desires? Come on, somebody. Why do I still have these desires that I find myself want to go contrary to? Why these thoughts come? Why I find myself, the Holy Spirit might tell me when it's time to eat to not eat too much. You know what I'm saying? Moderation, that's the word. He'll tell me moderate what I'm eating, but then another, I find myself pulled to where I want to eat more. Or either he telling me to watch that turn the TV off and I need to study, but I find this urgency, a tendency that I want to just don't read and watch TV. And if you don't understand what's happening, you see, the power before Jesus came in and destroyed and broke the power or deliver you from a sin nature, you was controlled. You were like what Paul said, when I wanted to do good, I didn't have the power to do what I know was right to do. But what I didn't want to do, I found myself doing it. And he said, who could set me free from this? Well, he found out that he had a sin nature. Well, when God delivered him from that sin nature, then he started saying, as you yield your members to unrighteousness, that means your eyes, your ears, your whole being, now yield it to righteousness. And remember, we shared, we can live 100% in obedience. Now, I know some might not want to receive that. Based upon what Jesus, the finishing work of Christ, we can, but first you got to get in there. Because, the mind is the battleground. Some of you right now, you've been battling with problems in your marriage. You've been battling with symptoms in your body. You've been battling with your children, walking in disability. Listen, if you are born again believer, according to Proverbs 11 and 21, according to Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 58, do you not know God promised you? He said, and even in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, he told you, he set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He told you to choose life that you and your seed may live. Your seed, if you've been born again and accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, one of your inheritance is that your children would live a saved life, a holy life. Now, that's not without you partaking in it. What you mean, prophet? You got to walk before your children according to the laws and principles of God. See, I found out, and I'm kind of sensing the shift in the Holy Spirit, I find out a lot of time, especially in the time I was in this conversation with somebody early about the way the school system is. They don't want you, they don't have laws. If your children rebel against the school teacher, that the school teacher can't do nothing. They can't say nothing. Some of the children is using profanity, talking all kind of way to the school teacher. And if the school teacher try to retaliate, according to the knowledge I done got, something will be done to the school teacher more than to the child. But my point is this, That's when he told you to choose life. We post the Bible tell us as believers, we bring our children up in the admonition and the nurturing of the Lord. You do all you can do and not only just reading that word, but being partakers of that word. You know, you can't tell your child to pray if you don't never pray. And I found this out in raising my two children. I had to teach them as I read my children grow with me with the word. God had me, when I would read the word, I had my children to read it. Well, as they continued to grow, it was certain things I had to do. I had to live a consecrated life before my children. I had to live a consecrated life. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, you want everybody to be like you. No, all of our problem is different, and God will meet you where you at. This is my testimony. You see, God methods change. God know how to deal with you in your situation and me and mine. Some might have waited. Your children might be grown, and they were halfway grown before you made up in your mind to live for the Lord. But still, you have the authority and the power, and God can change your children. But you just can't live any kind of way. Other words, when I say any kind of way, you cannot violate the laws and principles of God and expect God to do what his word said he would do. Anytime we choose to disobey or rebel against what God say, God is not obligated. Please hear me. And that's why I said, even with this, and I think in my last, I think it was Monday we shared with you how, you know, when I first read in Genesis, the third chapter, what happened to Eve and Adam, I said, God, why you didn't do nothing? And God reminded me, I gave them freedom of choice. They had freedom of choice, and I would not override their will. It was an act of their will. After I gave them specific instructions what not to do, and they choose, they willingly did what I told them not to. And y'all listen, I don't care if anybody's telling you, you can just get up and violate the laws and principles of God, and it's no consequences. They lying to you. It's consequences. Paul even told the Galatians, he said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow. And I'm going to tell you, one of our biggest problems, other than Satan, is our flesh. I had to learn that because the battleground is in my mind. And I don't know about you, the devil will talk to you, or demons will talk to you all day and all night if you allow. You believe in God for something good, and there'll be some thoughts that come to you, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work, and it ain't going to work because you did this. And you got to, it's what Paul told the church of Corinthians, you got to know how to take authority over those thoughts that contrary to what God has said to you in his word. But like I said, I want you to see, and what I'm sharing with you today is, as an act of your will, you can walk in 100% obedience, 100% submissive to God. The Bible tells us that God, and some of you, these temptations you're experiencing right now, the Bible tells us God will make a way for our escape when it comes down to temptation. He said the temptation you have is common to man. In other words, you're not the only one experiencing this. And Jesus even said in John the 16th chapter, he said, we all going to experience trouble. Listen, I thought when I got saved, I escaped trouble. No, I didn't. It seemed like I invited more trouble. You know, when you go in Acts, if you go in Acts, the second chapter, even, and go through read the whole entire book in Acts, you will find out that once they received the Holy Spirit and stuff, yeah, they received, they was empowered with power to live right, not only that, to confront the enemy and to endure and overcome, but guess what? They also experienced a lot of persecution. I thought when I got saved, everybody liked me. That's not true. But the point I want to make is just see, you and I have to realize persecution is part of it. False accusation is part of it. And these are some of the things that sometimes we not prepare. The thing that the Holy Spirit will help us to prepare and help us to endure and go through. Remember Jesus. Before Jesus would lead the Spirit in the wilderness, he went by Jordan and got baptized. He would endure with power, because when Jesus came on earth, he did not operate in none of his authority that he operated when he was in heaven. He did that because to let you and I know, once we receive him and get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we will be endued with power. So with even with these fleshly desires, when they come, we can overcome it. Come on, somebody. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Because like I said, if some of you like me, what God is? Why won't God fix my marriage? Why won't God fix my husband? Why won't God fix my church? No, no, no. God is not going to override their will. But what you need to do, first of all, you need to make sure you're doing what God done told you to do. Because, see, the enemy, what he'll do, he'll try to get you to go teeth for tongue. He wants you to, you can't do that. You cannot do that. And one of the things, in order to see a breakthrough, first of all, I had to learn whatever God said in his word. If I made up in my mind, if I truly wanted to do it, the power, because I received the Holy Spirit enabled me with the ability to do it. Come on, somebody. And I had to do something first with my mind. I had to renew my mind. I had to get in this word and renew my mind. Find out what God said. Change my, see, the word of God will change. It won't only change your thought, but it'll change your desires. Come on, somebody. It'll change your desire. And then I start finding out, when I start reading the word, the enemy didn't want me to read the word. Sometimes I will read it. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you read a whole chapter, and when you're done reading, you don't remember? Now you read it. That's the enemy. What he's trying to do, we call it memory lapse. And then if not that, my mind would be in so much of turmoil, so many mind-binding thoughts, just negative, negative, negative. But like I said, there too again, you know, I couldn't understand. Now, if I don't have a sin nature, why I'm having such a struggle, such a battle with all these negative thoughts coming at me? What is this? And that's when God began to show me through his word, like Paul was saying to the Romans. He said, now, don't, as you yield your members to unrighteousness. See, and one of your members is your eyes. Well, we have the eye gate and the ear gate. That's what, you have to be careful what you watch and what you see. You got to be careful what you hear. That is important too. You got to be careful what you hear. The Bible tells us that we have to guard our heart with all diligence because the issue of life come out of it. And see, these are some of the things that we have to do in order. Like I said, when the early church found out that they had to get the power, and Jesus told them, he said, go to the upper room and stay there until you be endued with power on high. Because listen, we need help. And the Holy Spirit is the one that enable us. The Holy Spirit is the one that unfold to us the will of God. He don't only reveal it to us, but he bring understanding, and he help us to walk in it. And, you know, when I hear about all the peoples that struggle and go through, listen, I have trouble too. If I sit here and say, well, you know, since I got saved, everything is just like, I like a strawberry shortcake. It's sweet like and good like strawberry shortcake. That's not true. I have trouble. Tribulation, persecution come to me too. The enemy, you know, I just couldn't understand something. Now, if the enemy defeated, why he constantly fighting? He want you and I to believe the way he manifests himself, he's not defeated. The enemy want us to believe what we see, what we done prayed about, and what we see after we pray is not changing. And that's why sometimes when it seems like it get worse, that's a sign that it is changing. Why? Somebody said, why, prophet? Because, listen, you cannot apply the word of God to your situation and your situation don't change. I had somebody call me today, and they was telling me they had prayed about some, and they said, I don't know no more to do. I said, well, now all you got to do now is stand. God shift this. God shift my message today. I sense it. It's been a shift. Let's go to Ephesians 6th chapter. In Ephesians 6th chapter, he said, when you done did all First of all, Paul revealed to us in that sixth chapter, and I like the way he started in that sixth chapter, and that he said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Then he tells us, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the trickery of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Some people still haven't come to the realization that we, because I'm a spirit, I have a soul and live in a body, I can be influenced, enticed by the devil. And that's all of us. Please hear me. The enemy can influence somebody. He can cause people to fight against you. He can cause people to go out here and talk about you. And sometimes people is unaware when they've been enticed and influenced by the enemy. That's why it's so important. You need to get in this word and read this word. And I'm telling you, in the hour and the time that we're living in, just like when God told Noah to build the ark, that ark was a place of safety for them to be protected from the flood. The people didn't believe him because it never rained. But let me tell you something. In these last days, in the time you and I living in, you can't afford not to get in the word. Yeah, the enemy will make you so busy and so overwhelmed. We mentioned about that, about the chaos of the world. And it's certain things happening. Yes, it is. If I said it, wouldn't I be lying? I'm telling you the truth. But guess what? You is an overcomer. We just have to walk in it. And I'm just telling you how to walk in the finishing work of Christ. And he said, for you ain't right. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. You do that. And see, that's what I'm saying. I'm just waiting on God. No, God waiting on you. You got to know how to interact with spiritual warfare. You got to know how, we got to master key, binding and loosing. You got to know what to bind and what to loose. He said, whatever you forbid, whatever you call unlawful on this earth, it's already in heaven. If you're going through with your husband or going through with your wife and you see where the enemy coming in and bringing scribes, well, you have authority over that. You can bind that thing. Then if you and your spouse both believe, y'all can touch and agree and come in agreement. And you can decree, open your mouth, say, devil, let me tell you what you ain't going to do in Jesus' name. That's the number one thing. You need to know who you are, who your adversary, what rights you have. The Bible said God watch over his word to perform it. Now look at the 13th verse. And somebody, well, Prophet Miller, I've been praying and well, keep on praying. But make sure you praying and it's faith. You praying in faith and you ain't praying in anxiety and hope. You know, sometimes now when I pray for people, I say, do you believe you receive? I hope. I said, well, you didn't receive. Come on, y'all, listen. You're never too old to learn something. You know, at my age, and I thank God, both of my children are ministers, and I listen at my daughter minister. I don't listen at a minute time, but both of us on the same platform maybe about three weeks ago. And it blessed me because God had told me I was raised in minister. Well, my son, he campus pastor in Newport, New Hampshire, Virginia. And we get together and we share the knowledge to understand in the revelation. And some of you said, well, you know what? I'm just too old to change. No, you're not. No, you're not. You might be that guy old and allow yourself to get stubborn or stuck in your ways, but you're not too old to change. So let me tell you something. The more I read my Bible, the more revelation and enlightenment and understanding I'm getting. I'm finding out God method change. God, even with this generation, I got seven grandchildren, and I notice all of them, the way they respond to their parents, what they dealing with. I'm so glad I was born when I was born in 56. That's what, you know, we were born most in the Depression time when it was a lack of everything. But these children nowadays, they exposed to so much of stuff, by the way of the phone, by the way of the TV, by the way of people. It's sad. And if you got children, you need to know how to pray for them. Instead of saying, Lord, I need you to do something with my child. God, listen, God did everything that he was going to do for your child through the finishing work of Christ. It's your responsibility to get in the word and find out what he says. One of the scriptures I use a lot is Proverbs 11 and 21. The wicked would not go unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And when my grandchildren deal with it, I start decreeing and binding because I have to do that. I can't wait on God to do it. Come on, somebody. And he going to say, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And listen, some of you what Prophet Miller, what is an evil day? I tell you what evil day is right now. Say, if you're going through with your child right now, if you're dealing with a rebelling child right now, that's evil days. If you're going through in your marriage, that's evil days. If you're dealing with lack, that's evil days. Some of you, if you're dealing with lack of finances, you need to, first of all, I pray you've been giving your tithes and offerings. Well, that people tell we in this new covenant, and we don't have to give tithes and offerings. If you study your Bible, tithes was before the Mosaic law. It was before it, y'all. And God ain't changed that. See, the Bible said every seed produced after its kind. Where in the book of Genesis, the Lord said, God said, as long as the earth remained, it's going to be seed time and harvest time. Mark the fourth chapter. Matthew 13 tell us that everything that God do is a seed. My word is a seed. And that's why sometimes some of your prayers, ooh, God. Some people, your prayers ain't being answered because you double-minded. You double-tongued, if some people say. When things seem, when you pray one way, then when things, when you don't see a needle and suddenly change, you start speaking negative about it. Do you not know, because you and I be created in God's image and God's likeness, when we receive the Holy Spirit, our words have power. Our words can create. And God had me to share that with somebody earlier this week. Your words, no, watch what's coming out of your mouth. You can change your situation with your word. Now, some of you might not never hear this before, and I said some of you been, you know, you done aged, and you've been saved. Well, we ain't never had to do what, listen, could that not be why you ain't seeing the manifestation of some of your prayers, too? When God brought this to me, watch what's coming out of your mouth. Sometimes the resisted temptation is speak negative. Sometimes I done had to cry. Come on, somebody. But I'm telling you, like I said, God shift this whole word today to let you know, listen, you got something to do when it come down to your situation. God ain't going to do it all. God do what I can't do. It's up to you to sit and read the word. Get your mind renewed. It's up to you to discipline your emotions. You see, I found out a lot of people is led by their emotion, and I'm tempted too. You have to control your emotion. You ever notice certain thoughts you have? If you have a thought of fear, you ever see how your emotion shift? A certain thing, a bad report you have, your emotion to shift. You have to take control over your emotion. Sometimes when something bad happens, you begin to be fretful and fearful. You have to deal with your emotion. Well, guess what the Word of God will do? The Word of God will do all of that for you. You see, I ain't been too long. Do you truly believe the Word? Do you truly believe it? Because if you truly believe it, you'll trust it. You see, the devil believed that God exists. The devil believed that Jesus, the Son of God, he believed God is God, but he don't trust him. He don't trust him. He don't do what he say. Now, if you just sitting around, I believe God, and you ain't doing nothing, you're not reading the word, you're not renewing your mind, you're not speaking what God said to those things that contrary to what God said. Well, guess what? You ain't no better. See, that's what happened to the children of Israel. They believed that God could, but they didn't trust God to do it. They were always mumming and grumbling. They was always speaking against what God said. I want to read this from the Amplified, Ephesians 6, and I'm going to begin at that 10th verse, because that 10 through 17, they tie in together. It's in conclusion. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him, relationship. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provide. There too again. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. And whenever I hear evil reports about myself or my grandchildren, my children, I say, oh, no, we ain't having that in our family. God, you say it. I have to learn that. And sometimes even in speaking, mind-binding thoughts that contrary to what God said, oh, man, it be so. I can sense the pressure. And I said, no, we're not saying that. Even sometimes when it seems like the money getting lack. You know what? No. Father, I thank you. You rebuke the devil for my sake. I give tithes and offering. You told me he that giveth to the poor, lend it to the Lord. The Lord will pay back with interest. Father, I sold money and money come to me. You said men and women, you said men shall give into my bosom, pressed down, shaking together, running over. And therefore, I command you, Satan, to loose my money, and I loose men and women to give into my bosom. Father, you said I will flourish in the day of famine. I thank you my bonds are filled. And with my cabinet, bonds, same thing, is filled. I just begin to open up my mouth and say what I believe. Paul said, I believe, so I speak. And some of you your own problem. You don't know who you are as a believer. And then when it's time to say what the word says, when you confront it with all this lack and sickness and all, instead of you saying what the word say, you open your mouth and you begin to line up with what you see, the thing that contrary to God. And listen, you ain't going to experience. Now, I can hear somebody say, well, you know, I don't do all that, and God still do. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Listen, God wants us to grow up. I was listening at Apostle Ron Carpenter, and he blessed me the other day. He said, you know, so when you first get saved, he said, you ever know you can just, at first it's just like, thing was just happening. You could just second it was happening. He said, just like the children of Israel. But it came a time when it stopped floating because God wanted them to stand on this word. God wants you to grow up. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to me, too. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to be like Jesus. My goal in life, that I only do what my Father say do. Or better yet, whatever God wants me to do, that's what I want to do. But let me tell you something. You better know I done had to fight my flesh in the enemy. And some people he sent against me. Okay? Then it go on. Look at the 11th verse. I'm reading from the Amplified. It's to put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategy and the deceit of the devil. Don't you know we have weapons, and our weapon is powerful. The Bible said the word of God is like a sword, that it can divide spirit, soul. It'll do that. We have to fight with the word. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, how did he endure and overcome the temptation? He was with his word. Well, that go for you and I too. And there's sometimes it don't make sense. Sometimes it make you feel like a fool when you say what the word say and what you see is contrary. They ain't in agreement. But that just the way our weapon is so powerful. And then we got the name of Jesus. Don't you? The Bible said the name of Jesus is, now listen, if you use that name and conclude your prayer with in Jesus' name, do you know what you done said? The Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the name of Jesus. Don't you know if you say that with faith and confidence, and know what the name can do in your situation, it'll change your whole situation. But you can't sit up there. Listen, the Bible said we're any two touching and agreeing, asking anything on this earth, that's in Matthew 18, anything or it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Listen, you can touch and agree with your situation, which is negative, which came from the devil. You can touch and agree with God. When I say what God said, I'm coming in agreement with his word. When I say what I see that is contrary or better yet, coming against what God say, I'm coming in agreement with the enemy. I'm coming in agreement. I say, it ain't going to change. Come on, somebody. It said, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotness, against the powers, against the master spirit, who are the world ruler of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of weakness in the heavenly supernatural spirit. Therefore, put on God complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day. Listen, if you don't pray the word, well, guess what? Now you got to stand and resist and cast down imagination and thoughts that exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Now you got to speak it. No, that ain't what I prayed. I didn't order that. I didn't ask for that. I told somebody that. They said, well, everything, I done did everything I know and look like I say. I texted them, I said, no. I asked God for specific things. And guess what? That's what I'm going to have. I'm going to stand. I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to speak to these things and tell them it's going to be just like God's word say. Listen, if you don't get dogmatic, if you don't get violent when it comes to reaping your inheritance according to the finishing work of Christ, you ain't gonna see it happen. It ain't going to manifest. You sitting around TikTok and play, that don't work. You have to get violent. And let the enemy know, look, first of all, I know who I am. I'm a born-again believer. I also know that I have an inheritance. I also know that I have authority over you, and you don't dictate to me. I had one of my grandsons, you say all the time, you don't boss with me. Well, you need to tell the devil, guess what? I'm not yours anymore, and you don't boss with me. And I have to learn. I have to open my mouth and decree and declare. And you ever sense sometimes you've been about and you sense a discouragement and disappointment? You can sense it. You can feel it in your emotion. But guess what? That's the time you need to open your mouth and decree. Oh, no. The devil find your man. No, devil, you ain't going to destroy my man. The prophet, I thought you said people have a wish. They do. But don't you know by you praying and inviting God in your situation and you agree that you want it to work, God got a way to turn people's hearts. I don't know how he do it. He can melt it. I don't know how he do it. The spirit of conviction can visit them and show them and cause them to change their mind, even with your children. God will do the same thing. I done seen this happen more than one time. Now, yeah, with my marriage, when God showed me, you know, wasn't going to override my husband's will and my husband made up his mind he didn't want me, okay. But I'm going to tell you, I was not consistent in doing warfare for my marriage. Let me help you out. Y'all listen, if you hear your will and come in agreement with what God said about you, your spouse, your children, your family, if you come in agreement with that word, and step by step, the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. If you do what the Holy Spirit say do, you're going to have what the Bible say. But there, too, again, you have your part to play. And God is not going to violate your will, my will, and nobody else. I want you to hear me. And see, that's where you have to know how to rightly divide the word. And look what he said. He said again. He said, therefore, put on God complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil days of danger, and having done all that Christ demand. Have you did all? Whatever you're dealing with, have you did everything God told you? Are you keeping resisting anger? And what I mean, the Bible said the wrath of man work not the righteous God. Are you done got angry and you said things you ain't got no business? Are you keeping a forgiving heart? Come on, somebody. Are you keeping yourself open to see Lord, what you want me to do? Holy Spirit, what you want me to do in this situation? See, God will be speaking. And that's why I said when it came down to my marriage, I'm the first to admit, no, God didn't override my husband. But when he told me to shut up, I didn't. When God said, and be quiet, I wouldn't be quiet. When he told me to continue to do warfare, I didn't do that. I let my emotion get the best of me. Like some of you right now in your situation, you allow your emotion to get the best of you. You're doing overwhelming. You're doing too much of crying. You're doing too much of oh me, oh me. Why all this happened to me? Instead of knowing, look, this ain't God best for me. God is a good God. You know, so God will make you sick to get you a tick. That ain't the way God do nothing. The Bible says, as Jesus suffered in the flesh, Arm yourself likewise. The only thing that supposed to suffer is my flesh, but I don't let flesh have its way. That's the part of us that supposed to suffer, your flesh. Flesh wants to do what flesh wants, when it wants, and how it wants. But God do not put sickness and disease on us. What kind of father going to break his child leg? So I'm going to break your leg. That'll make you walk. I'm going to withdraw food from you. That'll make you. God don't work that way. But see, if you ain't got in this Bible and find out what God say do, you're gonna walk around. Apostle Parker, one of my leaders, you said you'd go around the same dumb mountain. I done been there. You see, until you get fed up with what the devil doing, you'll do something about it. And do you not know you were creating God likeness in his image? Do you not know we don't like to be dominated? We like to dominate, not be dominated. Come on, somebody. Is that just the way it is? But I'm telling you, stop mumbling and complaining and walking around here talking about poor me, old me. Come on, stop that. You're not helping yourself. Get manned up and say, you know what? I'm beginning this word. I'm going to find out what he said. But I like what he said. Therefore, put on God complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand. You got to resist. You got to resist and cast down them thoughts. Oh, it ain't going to work. Yeah. And instead of getting agreement, I done did it before. Yeah, I've been praying for a long time. I might as well stop. My prayer just hitting the ceiling. It ain't going nowhere. Right there, you intercepting and you stopping God. Oh, I know you don't like to hear this. I didn't either. I didn't believe nobody could stop God if God wanted to do something. But see, when you study and find out the laws and principles, the way God established this earth, he established on laws and principles. The Bible said God framed the world with his words. Well, let me tell you something. You can change your circumstances with your words. Get up, brush yourself off, dry them tears up, and get your Bible, which is the sword of the Spirit, and start fighting. Find out what God say about your marriage. Find out what God say about your church. Okay, if you didn't do right about your spouse, repent. If you didn't do right in raising your children like you're supposed, repent. Okay, God, because it's never too late to change. Okay, God, I didn't do right. Now show me what I must do now. Boy, this is good. I thank God for this word today because it charged me up even more. Listen, you can change your situation. God wants you to have the best. Jesus paid for you to have the best. Father, in the name of Jesus, again, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the way you came in and shipped the word so that your word would be able to touch and encourage someone. I thank you. I praise you for it. I thank you even as we go off the air, as the Holy Spirit continue to deal with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. Enjoy the rest of your evening.